are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You play with that type of passion, that type of energy for long periods of time, you put yourself in a position to win, and that group did. But again, we all remember the last part of the game, but our Achilles heel was in the second quarter. 16 points. It got away from us with about 3 minutes to go in the second quarter.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, December 18th. And the Pistons get Giannis on a night. Giannis, I made that one up, by the way. On a night that their own star stumbles. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen and for spreading the word this holiday season about your favorite daily Pistons podcast. And you know the reason that I know that this is your favorite daily Pistons podcast is because it's the only daily Pistons podcast out there. So again, thanks for spreading the word about us. Today we're going to break down Monday's loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, which I just got home from. A valiant effort in the second half, third quarter, and a couple of standouts that the Pistons will need to continue their nice play going forward if they're going to get to a level of success that they hope to attain. We're also going to explore the latest two names out there and available to be had in the trade market and also the waiver wire slash free agency world. Plus, I've got the stat from Dave Hogue of the Associated Press on the historical night for Blake Griffin, the good and the bad when it comes to that end. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But the Pistons fall on Monday night to the Milwaukee Bucks 107-104. Had two chances to tie the game late, but Blake Griffin missed a pair of three-pointers in the final 14 seconds. The Bucks get out of Detroit with a tough win to stay up near the top of the Eastern Conference standings. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32 points, 12 rebounds and 5 assists. A late dunk that looked like a hashtag start writing moment for Rod Beard, but the Pistons got a couple of nice stops late, including a drawn charge from Blake Griffin on Giannis. Blake ended up with 19 points on 4 of 13 shooting, including 2 of 7 from 3, so rough for him on those regards. But he did have 11 assists and 10 rebounds, the triple-double through three quarters, but also had 10 turnovers, so mostly a bad night for Griffin. The Pistons had a horrid second quarter, but Blake Griffin led a great third quarter, and he was bad pretty much the rest of the night. But he, his third, along with the shooting of Stanley Johnson in that quarter, led the Pistons all the way back. Stanley Johnson finished with 20 points, including 4 of 7 from three-point land. The star of the night was Reggie Bullock, a career-high 24 points for him, including 5 for 7 from three-point land. Andre Drummond, speaking of the bad, had 10 points and 14 rebounds, 4 of 12 from the field, just not getting it done offensively on the night for the Pistons. The Pistons, by the way, shot 18 of 44 from the paint, largely led in the wrong direction by Griffin and Drummond in that regard, 40.9% in the paint field goal attempts. So obviously that's going to be not getting it done against anybody. The Pistons went 40% from three, but if you're also going 40% in the paint, that doesn't matter all that much. Reggie Jackson, he had 11 points, but only played 23 minutes, outplayed minutes-wise by Jose Calderon, who off the bench played 24 minutes, one more minute than Jackson. Calderon finished with 4 points and had 5 assists to 2 turnovers, while Reggie had 4 assists to 0 turnovers. So actually, the assist to turnover a little bit better for Jackson. But Dwayne Casey said after the game that down the stretch, he's going with the guys that are playing well. And on this night, obviously, that was Stanley Johnson. And you needed him in there probably in the clutch against Giannis. He's kind of going to be the late-game stopper. I would expect that if the Pistons are coming from behind, Stanley Johnson's going to be in there more times than not. And probably if it's a game that's going right back and forth, that'll probably be the case as well, because he's obviously the best perimeter defense, but the best defensive player on the Pistons. And so he's going to need to be in there more times than not. So you might look to see between Bullock and Kennard, maybe who's shooting a little bit better, or if the Pistons are way back and need a big boost of three-pointers, maybe they go with Bullock and Kennard like they do at the starting lineup. But it'll be interesting to see what those rotations look like. We know Langston Galloway is a guy that's gotten some crunch time minutes as well for the Pistons too. So, and we know that Reggie Jackson is not getting crunch time minutes lately in favor of Jose Calderon, which is really a message that obviously Coach Casey is sending out there. We know that in Reggie Jackson's time with Detroit, those crunch time minutes are where he's excelled at times, especially given that he's probably been before in the pre-Blake Griffin era for the Pistons. In his time here, he's been the best option for the Pistons to make some shots down at the end of the game. So, but a decent crowd. I was there with the Detroit News, a loud crowd, about 75% full at Little Caesars Arena, but they did get up for the big moments. So the crowd showed up, did their part. Those big moments were often the Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson three-pointers. 44 points for those guys combined, including 9 of 14 from three-point range. So they did their part, that's for sure. But the rest of the team shot 5 of 21 from three-point land, so under 25% as I do the quick math in my head. As the Pistons fall to 14 and 14 on the season, back to 500. Now the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. I love that every day this season I pass along after every game where they're at in the Eastern Conference playoff hunt. I know that it's crazy to talk about that here on middle of December, but still fun for me to think about where they're at in the Eastern Conference playoff pecking order. If you listen to the show, you know that that's something that I just do. And right now the Pistons are just a game and a half inside the Eastern Conference playoffs, with that meaning that the ninth seed, the team that's ninth in the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, Miami, are just 1.5 games behind the Pistons. So they would have to make up for that deficit. And, of course, the seventh and eighth teams would have to jump them as well, Orlando and Charlotte. But the game's coming up Wednesday at Minnesota, Friday at Charlotte, in a red-letter must-win kind of game as far as must-win games go in mid-December. And then Sunday at home versus Atlanta. But you know what this means, though? In those three games, including the fourth game, the next four games, including the Wizards at home the day after Christmas, which will be Wednesday of next week, all four of those games for the Pistons are against teams who are under 500 as we speak right now. So it does get a little easier after a tough start to December. We warned you about this going all the way back to early mid-November, that this team was going to have at least a little bit of a losing streak. It turned into a lot bit of a losing streak with the six-gamer. But the Pistons did get a couple of wins. Certainly you would have expected this stretch to go a little bit better and maybe lose those games you won and win some more of those games that you lost. But, you know, this is where we're at. This is a 500 team. We kind of knew that coming in. Myself and maybe you guys out there were probably a little bit guilty of buying in a little bit more than we should have during the successful time, during the 13-7 start and all that came with that, especially the good play of Blake Griffin, that maybe said, you know, maybe this is a team that could, best case scenario, pop into that four seed or something like that in the Eastern Conference. I doesn't look that way anymore. A lot of basketball to be played, obviously, and a couple Eastern Conference injuries could have something to do with that, or teams falling apart, or maybe the Pistons getting another surge and going forward in a positive way after the new year begins. But we will see, and we will find that out together every day here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, we're going to talk about a couple of big names who might just be discarded soon by their teams. One of them already was late-breaking tonight, in case you haven't heard. And if the Pistons should have any interest in those guys, a little bit of a talk among the Pistons writers and faithful these days, including James Edwards III, will report on what he had to say in his Monday column. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. A little bit later on, we'll give you the can't-miss stat of the night as it pertains to Blake Griffin. But today, we are talking about trades. Trade season is upon us. The three-month rule of teams that picked up free agents in the offseason has passed. So now it's officially trade season up until the trade deadline, which I believe is February 7th. But I'll say this again, we're not going to be talking about trades always here on the podcast every day. I find it to be kind of interesting, and that's one of the things that we should be on the podcast, of course, is interesting, but not exactly relevant sometimes when talking about rumors and possible trades, because sometimes the amount of times that the time that fans and media spend talking about trades doesn't exactly match up to how many get done, or the ones that we're talking about aren't even close to the ones that actually get done. So I think It can often be a little bit of an empty exercise, but I guess that's what podcasts are in some ways. And thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast, by the way. Your favorite daily empty exercise. But maybe we're back to square one now. But Markelle Fultz, it's interesting to talk about that one in particular on Friday because the Pistons were linked to him in reports as being, along with Orlando, a team very interested in acquiring him. And then Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe over the weekend said that the Pistons in a podcast were very interested in dealing Reggie Jackson, their starting point guard. So that's another thing that comes up, and we got to follow all these worms before we get our fish, so to speak. You're welcome for that. A brilliant analogy. But I do have a thought about that, by the way, the Markelle Fultz rumors. The 76ers want players, but I wanted to throw this out there. A couple proposals had Ish Smith included, and here's my problem with that. And if you want to say like maybe Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock for Markelle Fultz or something like that. And value-wise, that's something that might work when you look at the two sides of the deal. But look, it's not just value. You have to be looking at team fit as well. And now maybe they could spin Ish off into some kind of player or maybe McConnell. But I just think that Ish Smith and TJ McConnell, they're basically the same guy. And I got to pat myself on the back a little bit, as Bill Simmons always says. It's nice when you can make a cross-racial comparison and say that these guys are similar in Ish Smith and TJ McConnell, but it means you're really woke, by the way. It's like I don't even see color. That's how evolved I am. So I'll be the white guy patting myself on the back for that. But Reggie Jackson is a name, by the way, that that everyone wants to talk about with the Pistons and all the rumors. Rod Beard of the Detroit News, a colleague of mine, probably the dean of the Pistons beat writers, although maybe you're a Vince Ellis guy, I don't know, but maybe we'll put this up on a Twitter poll. That would be nice and awkward for everyone. Throw Keith Langlois and James Edwards and Rod and Vince and Ansar Khan in there. A bunch of guys that I work with very often and know them all and like them all, just to kind of tear apart the fabric of the Pistons beat writer community. Put up a Twitter poll as I pull the puppet strings here in the background of this group, but that might be kind of fun. But Rod said in an article on Monday that Jackson, most likely you'd have to attach an incentive, such as a first-round pick, to get an acceptable return for Jackson. And I agree with that in terms of the acceptable return, but it's an interesting question, the Reggie's trade value. And I call him a slight negative asset right now, but as time goes on, he gets more attractive. He gets closer to that expiring part of the deal at the end of next season. And I think by this summer, he's kind of a neutral asset, maybe even a slight positive as a guy who's an expiring deal. And you can maybe talk yourself into, if you're another team or the Pistons, him being a quality player next season, provided he has a healthy summer as well. But two names are out there right now. Jabari Parker, who the Bulls have exiled to the bench right now, and Austin Rivers, who the Suns finally did acquire from the Washington Wizards in a trade over the weekend. But Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com is reporting late on Monday night that the Suns will be parting ways with Rivers and releasing him, putting him on waivers, but then he should pass through that, because why would a team pick up his $12 million contract this year when they could pick him up for cheap after he clears waivers as a free agent? So he'll become a free agent shortly. I guess first the question is, should the Pistons be interested in picking up Austin Rivers? Well, I guess a bigger question here would be, is Tom Gore, as the owner, ready to pay the luxury tax? I know Rivers, he's only going to command the vet minimum, but Pistons are so close to the tax right now. I actually believe that they're into the tax, all things considered, with the salary sheets, and they have to find a way to trim a little bit of money by the trade deadline in February to get under it. Now, there's ways that they can do it. Smarter guys than I will be able to figure that out, but this move is one of those that I believe would put them over the luxury tax threshold. But you could pick up Austin Rivers and maybe trade like a Ish Smith at the deadline to a contender for a second round pick. And that way you're actually cutting salary by adding Rivers and subtracting a guy like Ish Smith and getting under that tax that they might be over already right now. That could work for the team cap sheet wise. But Austin Rivers, obviously a polarizing guy, even in locker rooms around the NBA. And keep in mind, Blake Griffin was a former teammate of Austin Rivers with the Los Angeles Clippers. And that might be reason enough, the way that things went in L.A. Of course, I wasn't around the team. I'm digesting a lot of the Clippers rumors and whatever happened around that team behind closed doors are things that I don't know and you don't know and maybe we'll never know. But that might be reason enough to say that Austin Rivers will never play for the Pistons. And I don't know that to be fact, but it certainly could be the case. But I know around the NBA, he's certainly a guy that's polarizing. I mean, he's got the my dad traded for me thing and gave me unfair advantages in the league stigma attached to him. He's got the Duke thing attached to him. It's kind of like the Duke thing to an exaggerated level is my dad making sure that he can be in the NBA and play a lot of minutes for the Clippers under, of course, his father, Doc Rivers, the coach and ultimately president of the Clippers when he acquired him at that time. So kind of an absurd caricature of the privilege that comes along with being Doc Rivers' son. As far as play, though, I kind of like Austin Rivers. I'm not going to lie and say that I've seen a whole lot of him play over the years, but I think he'll definitely have suitors as a guy on a prorated minimum deal. And so much so that I think like every contender could be in play here. I know that sounds absurd for a guy of Austin Rivers' caliber, but when you're talking about a vet minimum, when you're talking about a guy who can come off the bench, play stretches of minutes and get a lot of buckets for you. I think he had about 12 points a game last year, maybe even more than that, maybe 15 or so points a game last season. So you could be talking about the Golden States of the world, Houstons of the world. I mean, everyone could use a guy possibly like that, and the Pistons might be interested in getting involved there if it were, like I said, not sure what the history exactly is between Blake Griffin and Austin Rivers. That might be a no-go right from the beginning, but the Pistons might have the opportunity to say, hey, you know, you'll have the ball off the bench for us. And maybe if Reggie Jackson's not on this roster, you could say there could be crunch time minutes for you available as a ball handler. If you can spot up and play alongside Blake Griffin as that kind of, you know, combo guard type that gets a lot of different looks and different lineups. He shot it well last year, I know, and things obviously weren't going well for him in Washington this year, or anyone for that matter, obviously, discarded in a trade for Trevor Ariza. And what's, you know, again, what is Washington doing right now? Getting Trevor Ariza in a trade, he's getting to the point where people are starting to talk about how washed he is. He's overpaid on that one-year deal. Seems like Washington is just trying to throw stuff against the wall at this point. Kelly Oubre, they had to give him up, and I know they're probably not interested in matching whatever they could get. He could get as a restricted free agent this summer. But even more so than that, what is Phoenix doing? All we've heard about is how this team needs a point guard. Maybe they could get Devin Booker off the ball a little bit to where he has excelled. And I know that they're tanking. I know that this is a very bad team that wants to lose as much as possible. But I would think that a guy like Austin Rivers, and I know $12 million is a lot of money, but I feel like you could fetch something for him. Or at least try it out, see if you have any suitors around the league, as opposed to just cutting him and waiving him and paying him that $12 million on day one, or not seeing if there's any kind of fit. It just seems like I don't really quite see what Phoenix is doing other than getting Kelly Oubre, moving on from Austin Rivers completely, and maybe doing a favor for some other team around the league, if it's Houston or Golden State or maybe even the Clippers with Doc Rivers in a reunion with Austin Rivers. Maybe there's a favor baked in there by James Jones and that Phoenix staff. But we'll see. It's a team that you obviously kind of second guess no matter what they're doing, because it's a team that's been such a mess with ownership in the front office over these past few months, with Robert Sarver kind of being a perpetual problem and them firing Ryan McDonough earlier in the season and going straight to James Jones, who just took his uniform off, basically. But Jabari Parker in Chicago relegated to a deep bench role with Jim Boylan. We'll push him, discussion about him a little bit after the break now. But the Locked On Pistons and Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow at Locked On NBA Net on both of those platforms. Amazing during games, breaking news, and to get the local perspective on Twitter and on Instagram. Check out the stories that all the hosts around the network are telling. Check us out with the handle Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Next, we're going to talk Jabari Parker, and also we'll give the can't-miss stat of the night as it pertains to Blake Griffin. That is next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and 810-666-1546, that is the number for the Google voicemail line. Here's what I want to hear this week from you guys. What was your favorite moment of the Locked On Pistons podcast past? Was it the Larry Brown interview? Maybe when we talked to Nick Friedel, ESPN.com, Nancy Lieberman, formerly of the Detroit Shock. Frosty Smokes on Twitter said on Monday that he loves the Blue Chews ad reads that I do. I like those too. If there's one thing you can say about the first 499 episodes of the Lock on Pistons podcast, and if I'm being biased, especially the ones that I've hosted, it's that it's very erotic. It's a very sexy show. I think that we can all agree there's no doubt about that. And maybe you liked a show from back in the day, maybe the Dan Feldman era when the podcast was in its infancy and was born, I guess, and had the umbilical cord cut. Cool. I think I added an extra cool. I've had a couple pops tonight. Hope you'll excuse me after the loss for the Pistons against the Bucks. But I saw Dan tonight at the game. Shouts to Dan Feldman, the godfather of the Lockdown Pistons podcast. We'll have him back on again sometime soon. But the reason that I'm asking again about the your favorite memories is Wednesday is show number 500 for the Lockdown Pistons podcast. We'll come up with a giveaway probably through social media, and we'll have some more details coming up about that. So look for that on the internets on Wednesday. But maybe you just want to wish us a happy 500th episode. You're more than welcome to do that. I feel like I'm fishing for a compliment when I say that. But call and leave a voicemail or text. I prefer the calls, though, as you know. And we'll play them on Wednesday's show if you guys do call. 810-666-1546. Leave your name. Leave where you live, and just quick bio about yourself. Don't take too much time, but just kind of say, hey, I'm Matt. I live in downtown Detroit. I've been following the Pistons forever, listening to the podcast forever. Big fan of your sultry voice. Maybe not sultry, but anyway, let's move on. Jabari Parker, the Chicago Bulls, sent to the deep bench a few days ago by Jim Boylan. He has a team option for $20 million next year, the Bulls do, on the contract for Jabari Parker. So it was a 1+1 deal with the team option being the plus one. And what I feel like maybe we should make as a new segment here is what James Edwards III wrote on The Athletic. I know that many of you obviously subscribe to The Athletic online, but there's probably many of you who listen to this free podcast who say, for whatever reason, I don't want to add another expenditure to my ledger monthly. And I understand that too. But again, as I've said many times, I would encourage you guys to subscribe to The Athletic. And not only that, but subscribe to the free press and the news. I'm a subscriber to both of those entities. And you get, when you have a free press subscription like I do, you also get the Detroit News online version. So I can read my stories online. I've always just been a free press subscriber. So that's why it's weird to admit that. But the money goes, it's the Gannett partnership. So it's owned by the same people. It's not owned by the same people, but the business-wise, here I am justifying why I spend my money the way I spend my money. But here's how you should spend your money is to consider being a subscriber to The Athletic. But anyway, our new segment will just be, here's everything that James wrote, so you don't have to subscribe. I'm just kidding, James. But here's what he did write on Monday as part of his column, which he also broke down some film with Luke Kennard. So you should definitely check that out, especially if you're a subscriber. Consider subscribing. Maybe a great gift for yourself. Maybe tell the folks who are always asking you, what do you want for Christmas, or your wife or whatever. And maybe The Athletic would be a good answer for the sports fan in your life. But James Edwards III proposed this trade, that the Pistons trade Reggie Jackson and Stanley Johnson for Jabari Parker, headed in the trade machine. It worked out. This trade is successful. We know that the teams have to agree, not just that the salaries and cap sheets have to agree. And James argues that the biggest thing that the Pistons would be getting off Jabari Parker's $20 million deal this summer, obviously declining the team option for the second year, instead of waiting for Reggie Jackson's $17 million deal to come off the cap the following summer. So while it's a bigger amount of money, obviously you'd prefer to get that 20 off the cap sheet this summer and do whatever you wanted to do with that $20 million of cap space, as opposed to having another year of Reggie Jackson. And again, myself, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I've never really been as high on Reggie Jackson as a lot of people are. And now that everyone on the planet is pretty much very low on him, I actually think that his value might be even higher than a lot of people do, just because the swings with this guy are pretty high, up and down. But James, and then the big consideration in that deal is obviously Stanley Johnson. Is it too much of an asset to give up? And I agree that, Reggie Jackson and Jabari Parker, given that those salary responsibilities that you would owe those guys, obviously you would prefer to have Jabari Parker over Reggie Jackson. So that's a win for the Pistons straight up. But the question is, do you add Stanley Johnson in the deal to make it fair, or is that too much to add to push it into something that's of the Bulls' favor, and the Pistons should not do that in terms of comparing the assets that you are giving up in that deal. And James even talked about attaching a pick to the deal if you are the Pistons. So he seems to think that, if anything, the Pistons weren't giving up enough in terms of Stanley and Reggie for Jabari Parker, and more reasonably, the ability to get off that $20 million deal this summer. Now, Stanley, I don't know. I wouldn't do that. I would not add the pick, certainly. But I kind of do like the deal. Definitely see where James is going with this. And then with the other part of it, Pistons need a small forward. We know about the horrific defense that Jabari Parker plays, almost laughable around the league, but certainly would help on the wing as far as scoring and offensive, and a guy who can create his own shot. So that's a thing that the Pistons lack. So he would kind of help out this year's team in some ways, but certainly the Pistons would be getting worse this year when they make that deal. And Stanley, he'd be a tough guy to let go of. Realistically, can you right now re-sign Reggie Bullock this offseason, who's on an expiring deal right now, and then also match whatever offer sheet is out there for Stanley, who apparently has a lot of people around the league who still value him very high, and you can see why, with his defensive talent and also ability in the transition, ability to make plays as a playmaker, and maybe you have a belief the shooting will come around at some point, but you probably can't keep Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson this summer anyway, so you're going to have to pick and choose at some point, and you might as well be sooner rather than later and use the fact that you're going to lose Stanley Johnson as a restricted free agent to get something right now for him. So, and it sucks because, again, Jabari for Reggie and Stanley makes this year's team worse, and you're taking your best defensive player off the roster. You're officially cutting the cord with Stanley, which is hard because we have seen tantalizing potential at times from him, just not enough consistency. And it's an awkward conversation to have on a day like today when he just made 4 3-pointers on Monday. So a tough pill to swallow right now, but might be a smart one for the Pistons to do. But there's all these deals, and I know I keep saying that every deal that's proposed or every player that's out there is someone the Pistons should covet, but I think that's the product of me just kind of waiting for this front office to do something, and not just this front office, but waiting for big moves to be made by this franchise. And I know the Blake Griffin trade is a huge move, obviously, that was made in this calendar year, but just this group and the losing and the toll that it's taking on myself doing this podcast every day, and the toll that it's taken on this fan base over the last 10 years, the grass is greener on the other side right now with a lot of these players. And maybe we'd look back and think back of a deal that we proposed or a deal that the Pistons ultimately end up making and regret what they gave up in terms of what they got. But it's just where we are right now as a fan base. And I think I'm probably speaking for a lot of you guys out there. But let me know. Hit me up on social media. Let me know if you agree or not. But time for this front office to pick one of these scabs around the league, exploit one of these bad situations. I, for one, am anxious for a move. So what do you think? Let me know. Give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Let us know your trade thoughts. Locked On Pistons, the Twitter account there, and also the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give us a like and join the conversation on there as well. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. While you are at it, we'll be back. We'll be back with our 500th show on Wednesday. We're also going to look ahead to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And just a nice week of games before the holidays come. I'm in a good mood. I'm living here in downtown Detroit now, walking around with some good weather, sunshine, campus marshes, all that great stuff. So hopefully you guys are enjoying the holiday season so far and are looking forward to enjoying some time with your family, friends, and or loved ones. Or if you're one of these people who are alone during the holidays, and I've been one of those people many times, living away from home for many years, special shout out to those guys. You're part of the Locked On Pistons family, so you've got a family every single day here on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. But appreciate you guys listening, and hope you enjoy these 20-30 minutes that we have together every day like I do in your direction. So again, this is your host Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons podcast. We've said enough. Time to put the beers down and go to sleep. Appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.